Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us on another episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Ruby Rowan, and she is a portfolio manager with my company here in San Antonio at Larson Properties. And she's been with us for going on 3 years. She started as a leasing agent. We put her through real estate school, and she is now a portfolio manager for us. And why I thought it was significant to bring her on, because I'm getting a lot of questions about how the portfolio management system may work. And so through this interview, we're talking with Ruby about how she manages 180 plus homes. You're gonna hear how we work it with certain departments, how she's compensated, and how her quality of life has been. And so it's a very good interview as far as seeing the down and dirty of how we can do an operations to where we can manage that level of homes and how we break up the division of labor. So without further ado, we'll bring on Ruby. And Ruby, thanks for joining us here on the Property Management Mastermind Show. How are you doing today?
Hi, Brad. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. Thank you.
So as I mentioned in the intro, Ruby works for Larson Properties here in San Antonio, and we're going to go talk through some of the how we found Ruby, what she's doing for us, how she's transitioned, because I've been getting a lot of questions recently about the portfolio management model we run. And so, for example, we did a podcast interview last couple of weeks and had Amy Carnes on the show. And then prior to that, we had Pete Newbig on the show. And a lot of questions go into how exactly you do things on the operational side. So I figured it'd be a good opportunity to bring one of the staff members, one of the team members into the show. And we're going to go back and forth with some deep questions into the actual portfolio management model. So Ruby, is that good for you?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. Since you work for me, you'll say anything, right? Now, we'll have a good conversation, because what you're going to actually hear, so the listeners out there, you're going to hear from one of our team members, Ruby. And Ruby is one of the most experienced portfolio managers we have. And we call her a portfolio manager versus a property manager, because in our attitude, the portfolio just sounds better. It just sounds more professional. They're managing a group of homes, not necessarily one single property. So a portfolio manager kind of implies they're doing this en masse. And so Ruby, we talked a little bit about the background in the intro, but let's hear from your perspective, kind of how we started, you know, where we found you, what your background is before we hired you. Kind of go into some of that with us.
So I've been in property management for the past 12 years, mainly apartments. So I didn't know about single family homes until I applied for this job. So I've been with Larson for 3 years. Before then I was managing apartments here in San Antonio. And then I was transferred on to Maryland, and then we came back.
Because you're a military spouse. I want to be clear about that.
I am a military spouse, so I did move around a lot. But again.
And Todd just retired?
My husband just retired of 22 years. So.
And he was an Air Force guy?
He was in the Air Force, yes.
Very cool. So that's why you're here in San Antonio.
That's why I'm here, and I'm staying. Good. So I will be with Larson for as long as I can.
Because I think I threatened you with death. Or worse, if you were leaving, right? I remember that conversation. Yes. I said, Ruby, you are not leaving. I will chain you to the desk. I will figure out a way to get your husband's orders changed if I have to. But yeah, we're so glad to have you here. And I think you skipped over a lot of that, because you glazed it over real quick. But let's dive into that, because the experience you gained in the multifamily business was tremendous, because you're managing a completely different element.
Right.
So talk to us more about the average type of a unit you were dealing with, kind of the demographics. I mean, they're night and day to what we're managing now, right?
The homes, the apartment industry, or yeah. You mean the,
okay. Apartments.
The apartments are going to be a lot different versus the single family homes because you're in one spot at all times. It's going to be mainly dealing with tenants versus owners. So being in property management, I mean, your focus is dealing with the owners, and those are going to be, you know, your main point of contact there.
No, great point. Let's not glaze over that, because in what we're doing now in the mm-hmm. single family realm, our focus is owners and tenants, kind of in a, maybe at a 50-50, right. 60-40. It just depends on the day, versus the multifamily. You have one corporate owner.
Correct.
Who you may never talk to. And the only hierarchy you have to deal with is your boss,
right.
Which might be the apartment manager or some corporate manager managing 5 or 10 of those types of elements. And so your focus was tenant focused.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So you did all the leasing, did all the management, all the maintenance.
We did everything. Yes. Yeah, so we did all the leasing, all the maintenance. That's pretty much, I mean, there really isn't a whole lot to it. I mean, because you're sitting in one place at one time versus property manager, where we're doing everything from beginning to end. So we're kind of out and about, going to the owner's home, introducing ourselves, and we're kind of all over San Antonio versus being in one, mm-hmm. one spot at a time.
So when you move back, we hooked up, you know, I found right. you through, I think it was an ad, either an Indeed or Craigslist. Or,
right.
Yeah, something like that. So we interviewed a bunch of people and we brought you in as a leasing agent.
Correct.
Right. And so we brought you in, we had a certain role for you. I quickly recognized that you had a lot of talent. And at that point, we were right around 300 to 400 homes, if you recall.
It was around 400 homes when I first started.
Okay. Yes. So we were right about 400 mm-hmm. homes. And I tell people that's when everybody was doing nothing and no one was doing everything. You know, it was really kind of a weird situation.
Yes.
Tell me what you remember from that.
Well, since I wasn't in the industry, I just figured that was just kind of the normal pace of work and how it was supposed to be. So yes, I did start off in the leasing. However, I do remember getting phone calls, not knowing where to direct the owner's questions to. So I kind of helped, transferred calls, and it just kind of wasn't going anywhere. Everyone was giving answers, and I think the owners, you could kind of feel their frustration, not be able to get the answers right there and then.
Mm-hmm.
So now, being that we are their single point of contact, I do think that they have that one person they could go to at all times.
Yeah, we call it everyone was in charge and no one was in charge.
Correct.
And to kind of elaborate more on that, as we grew, and this is going to be every challenge with every type of management company, mm-hmm. as you go from 50 homes to 100 homes to 200 to 300 on up, you're always going to have a constant evolution of how you're doing the operations. And that's where we were at a crossroads to that point. And I always tell people, you're right at 400 homes, you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The departmental side is going to have a real tough time giving people good service, because owners naturally want a single owner point of contact. They don't want to call one person for the bookkeeper question. They don't want to call another person for a maintenance question. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to email. So it's very frustrating. And we were seeing it.
Yes.
We were seeing a lot of, you know, complaints. We were seeing bad service. We were seeing owners leaving. So all of that was kind of setting us up to the point where we got to, and we needed to do something.
Right.
And so you and I talked and you said, we really probably want to go to something different. We got to do some sort of single owner point of contact.
Right.
And I said, Ruby, great. I'm going to send you to real estate school. So we sent Ruby to real estate school. She got her license. And this is about when we started to kick off our single owner point of contact, where we devised a portfolio management system. And so if you recall, we had mm-hmm. 400 homes. So how did we do that?
We divided. Well, I remember I did start off with 110. So we had 4 portfolio managers and all those were divided equally. And basically we just kind of got our point of contact list and just started reaching out to them, explaining to them the whole process that we're going to, you know, I will be your specific point of contact. And it just kind of went from there. Once they knew that we were their point of contact, they knew right there and then that it was us. Like mm-hmm. they need to contact us, you know, for anything at that
right.
point.
Do you remember how we divided up that 400 homes?
I don't recall how we divided.
Mm-hmm. It's a trick question. I figured you might remember because we talked about it, but it was because the lease end. That's how we divided those up. So each portfolio manager, there were 4 of them.
Okay.
We gave you an equal amount of homes that were lease ending in a certain time frame. So
right.
you wouldn't have 30 in June and none in July.
Right.
So we kind of broke it up that like that. And we're in a big enough market to where we could have broken it up by location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say cut the city in fourths and divide it up that way. But we decided to do it by lease and day. And that seemed to work out pretty well.
It seems reasonable that way versus the other plan, only because I think a lot of the homes that we have are mainly because it's growing on the west side. A lot of the bulk is going to be there. So yeah. I think the plan that we did now, it's working out really good for us.
Yeah, that was a tough challenge our general manager and I had when we were discussing this. We brought you in on that, if I recall, is, okay, how do we divide this? We have 400 homes, 420, whatever it was. We got to figure out a way to divide this and get this thing going. And so we devised the portfolio management model. Mm-hmm. And so let's spend some time talking about that and how we came up with it. So I basically stole that from the Australians, really upfront with you on that. And if you recall, we came up with the pay structure. And what we do is we offer a 20% revenue share to the portfolio managers.
Yes.
And then the senior portfolio manager, the general manager, he gets a 5% revenue share on everything underneath him. So the four or five portfolio managers underneath him. So we share 25% of the company revenue with the portfolio manager. So that's how it's initially set up and structured. Now, some of the benefits to the owners, I'm going to weigh in and I want you to add in because you're doing this day to day. And I know I'm going to dominate you as I talk a lot, but some of the benefits to the owners, let's talk about that from your perspective.
Okay. Well, just the main point of contact is, one of the main benefits. I mean, we work for the owner, so we're going to be on their side at all times, basically just.
Well, let's talk about renewals.
Okay.
Yeah. So renewals is a good point because in the renewal systems that we have, the portfolio manager earns a commission.
Right.
Okay. So you want a renewal.
It does make you work harder because our pay is based on keeping the owner since we do get a percentage of that. So it just makes you want to work harder to keep those renewals in, keeping the owners happy. As long as the owners are happy, there's no reason why they should want to leave, basically.
Right. That's a big part of it. So
yes.
The way we design this, and this is common sense, if I come up to you and say, Ruby, are you ready for 20 more homes today? You're going to say, hopefully.
Yes.
Take them.
I would obviously take them, yes.
Yeah, because you make more money, you make more revenue from there.
Right.
And if you lose one, it hurts. And we've broken it down to what you lose. I think it's either around $25 to $30 a month that you would lose on every time you lose a potential home. So when you hear an owner that says, all right, I'm going to sell my home, or all right, I'm going to move back in, and you're like, oh, that's kind of crushing.
It's kind of what we get that feeling. So we look forward to whenever we get those new ones coming in because we know it's going to help increase our pay.
Yeah, now you say that very blasé, but I will tell you, that's a big challenge with a lot of companies because their staff actively resists growing. And you may not know this because you haven't been around as far as the single family home management companies on the other side, but you'll see them where they're straight salary. So if you're straight salary, straight earnings, and I say, Ruby, here's 20 more homes for you. What's your reaction going to be knowing you're not going to make a cent more?
Right.
You're going to say,
more work.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to glaze over and you're going to give me a fake smile and say, oh, great. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Versus now, if we give you 5, 10, 20 homes, you're like, great, I can handle this. And we're going to talk how you handle that.
Okay. So, right.
Because the benefits to the owners are your interests are aligned, the single owner point of contact. They can contact you for questions. They can email you with questions. And we steered it to where you are, for the most part, the single owner point of contact. So for example, we need to talk about how you're delivering the service.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and come right back to it. Today's show is sponsored by the National Property Management Network, providing insurance products and services to property managers such as tenant liability insurance. Visit them at nationalpropertymanagement.com. And we're back. Thanks for taking a quick break with us. So Ruby, we were talking about some of the benefits to the owners. Mm-hmm. We were talking about keeping their interests aligned with you, talking about the single owner point of contact. And then we were talking about the different factions we have to assist you.
Right.
So to go backwards a little bit, I think you and I have talked about this before. True portfolio management. And I'll give credit to this to Deb Newell because Deb mentioned this to me one time. And she said, Brad, the truest form of portfolio management is when they do everything. They do the rent collection. They do the leasing. They do the maintenance. I mean, they do everything top to bottom. So in full disclosure, we don't have that. And we don't want that because we have specialists that do leasing.
Right.
So talk us through what you know there.
Okay, so basically in the beginning process, whenever we get with an owner, you know, we'll be the ones who do the photos and the marketing. However, we do have a leasing department who actually will process the applications. So she'll do that part. However, we'll always keep the owner updated of during the process. Mm-hmm. So again, we're still that one point of contact, even though we have other, you know, maintenance and leasing doing their own. Basically, we just kind of update them throughout any questions that they have.
That's key, because I was talking to Andrea, our director of leasing, the other day, and she does not want to talk to the owners. She will. She's happy to, but she wants that information to come directly from the portfolio managers. And we've seen applications where 20% are easy as far as their easy approvals, and she can approve them and get them going. But there's always those 60 to 40% somewhere in there that are just going to be tough ones. They're kind of in the middle.
Right.
Like the ones with multiple pets, the ones with multiple families, the ones with marginal credit. That's where you end up talking to the owner.
Those are the ones where we want to get with the owner anything. We want to make sure that they're okay with it as well, even though we would be okay with it. But yeah, because we want to make sure we have a good tenant for them. So even though we do the approval on those, we still want to get some type of input on them, just depending on, like you said, their credit or multiple pets. We don't want to just make that decision for them.
And certain owners, you know, from experience, need and want to know everything about their home.
Right. There are some owners who they just don't want any pets. And honestly, a lot of people, pets are their family. So it's kind of hard, you know, if they don't want any pets, because that's taken away a lot of their people who could be interested in the home. So it's just kind of letting them know, you know, all the options that we have as far as, you know, our pet guarantee and just other things that we have. Just kind of making them feel good about it and making, you know, a good decision on finding the right renter.
Yeah, there's more challenges there. Remember the service animals.
Yes, that's always a tricky one. That's always a hard one too.
And you've had one or two of those where we've had service animals?
We've had a couple of them. Fortunately for us, it wasn't anything to where it was an aggressive type dog. So they actually were in our breed category. So it wasn't an issue. But I know just from hearing stories, you know, the ones that have the pit bulls who have the service dogs, like you just kind of never know with those.
Where do you find most of the questions being asked by owners? Kind of what entails, you know, what generates the most activity where they call you or email you?
It's always going to be in the beginning process, basically, because we'll send them an email of how everything's going to be. However, there's going to be a gap there because they don't hear from us, you know, during the showing time. So they're just curious, you know, hey, how's it going? What's going on with the home? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be more in the beginning process. That's where the questions are going to be at, because they're new at this as well. Some of them are. Mm-hmm. Other than that, once we get a tenant in place, usually it's kind of cruise control from there. So I would say more in the beginning process.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Now, we do send out the Monday updates.
We do send out Monday updates for the owners as far as showings. So that way they're aware of how many showings that they're getting. So we do keep them informed of that as well.
Yeah, so one of the programs that we developed is a leasing guarantee where we lease it in a certain number of days.
Right.
Let's talk about this, because you're going to give us your perspective. Now, I've talked about this before on the other shows, but essentially we offer a 21-day leasing guarantee. We'll guarantee to lease the home within the first 21 days, or we'll refund back them a certain amount of management fees.
Right.
But there's got to be stipulations to it. There's got to be a vacant home. Mm-hmm. We have to price it, and it's got to be made ready.
Correct.
So those three stipulations. And so, do you feel that when owners see that as their option, that they start to trust us more? Or what do you feel about this program?
I do like the program. I think it will be easier for us to rent when the home is sitting vacant, make ready and ready to go. It's always hard when the home's on the market and the owner's still living there or tenant's still living there, because they can't see the home fully. So it may take a little longer for them to rent because they're kind of in and out. There could be tenants could be there during the showing, and it just kind of they don't get to see the whole house like they would want to be.
Yeah.
So I think even for me, if I were to go into a home, I would want to see everything, you know, closet space. A lot of those things you overlook whenever you're looking at the home because it's crowded, clutter. So I think the 21 guarantee will work well with those three.
Good.
those three reasons.
Yeah, we like to hear that. Because so back to the leasing side, where you get in touch with the owner is when there's a kind of a weird situation going on. Not weird, but, you know, where it's not just clean, where you have somebody with an 800 credit score and no pets and no kids and they want to move in next week. That's a easy approval.
That's a given, yes.
You know, but the ones in the middle to where you want to talk to the owners, and that's where you talk to them and, you know, kind of coach them through.
Right.
Okay. So once the lease is done, they're moved in. Mm-hmm. One of the things we have you do is we pre-check all the owner statements prior to going out. So talk us through how that process works.
They get their draws pretty much on mid-week. So we go through
their— From the 10th to the 12th.
From the 10th to the 12th, yes. Mm-hmm. So basically we just kind of go through the owner statements because we want to make sure that we catch the mistakes and let them know about it in the event there's a mistake. If there's a mistake, we'll fix it, but we'll let them know. We just don't want any surprises going to them as they do expect, you know, their funds to come in at, you know, at all times. Mm-hmm. So I think checking the statements— and before we weren't doing that, we were getting those calls that could have been avoided. Yeah. So having to go through them, it's just an extra step that we do on our end just to alleviate the phone calls and just kind of giving them the heads up. I think the owners will like that, you know, hey, rather us let them know than them having us, you know, having them call us.
Agreed. Kind of be proactive. Yes. So the way we do that, and you manage about 175 homes.
181.
Okay. You're adding so many, I can't keep track. So you're at 181 now.
Yes.
And the way that works with the statements is the general manager produces those around the 8th, 9th, somewhere in there.
Right.
Emails them to all the portfolio managers via PDF. Mm-hmm. And then you guys go through every single statement.
Yes.
So how long does that take you roughly?
It takes about an hour and a half.
Not bad.
It's not. I mean, 181 statements, that's a lot. So, you know, you kind of know what the management needs. You know, the management fees are and what's there, you know, any extra invoices you see, you know, it's because of a turnover or, you know, the home being rekeyed or an inspection going out. Other than that, there shouldn't be any unexpected charges.
Yeah.
Charges.
But there. You're looking for duplicates. You're looking for
making sure
they're getting charged
there
correctly.
There are errors sometimes, you know,
of course.
There's errors and we just want to make sure those were caught before.
Yeah.
It's being sent to
I think that's
here.
A good point. A lot of management companies kind of forget to do that. They assume everything's correct.
Right.
And they go ahead and send out owner draws. And oh, wait, there's a mistake. But they could take an hour and a half or 2 hours or divide it up amongst themselves mm-hmm. and go through each statement prior to sending out money. That's when they can catch those mistakes, fix the statement, and then send out the correct money along with the original draw the next day. So I think that process works well for us. It's been a really good deal. So let's talk more about the segmented part of maintenance.
Okay,
so we have a maintenance department. We have a director of maintenance and several assistants below them. And we use all third-party maintenance systems. So we used to have in-house technicians. Mm-hmm. It just really wasn't feasible for the business because the maintenance company was dispatching the technicians and then trying to handle all the third-party vendors for the hardcore maintenance.
Right.
I mean, hardcore maintenance to me is like roofing and air conditioning stuff.
Right.
I mean, those are things that no one would ever in-house as a management company because they're so specialized. Mm-hmm. So now we're just doing all third-party vendors. And so the maintenance division, kind of talk us through how they work with you as the portfolio manager.
Okay, so, you know, we do get maintenance requests that come in daily. They go to Karen, who is our maintenance director. We also get them as well, mm-hmm. just so we know what's going on with the property. Karen does take the role of the maintenance. However, just depending on what the situation is, she will come to us because we know the owners. We know how some of them are. So, I mean, basically, she'll come to us. But for the most of it, Karen is kind of the main point of contact on the maintenance part.
Yeah, she comes to you guys because you guys know the owner's temperament a lot.
Right.
And everybody knows this or should know this. You have, I would guess, 70 to 80% of the owners are, don't call me, fix it.
Right.
And then, you know, you handle it. That's why I hired you.
Right.
The other 20, 30% are micromanaging. They want to know exactly what's going on. They want to know. They want to approve every single thing that went on. They want 27 bids for everything going on. I'm being facetious, but point is, you know, there are those owners that want that kind of scrutiny. And so you know which ones to work with and can advise Karen on what to do.
Yes, because, I mean, we do meet them. So you kind of build that rapport and you kind of know. And at that point, you know, they'll kind of tell you what they expect or what they want. So
because you'll end up talking to them once or twice or five times a year, 10 times a year.
Right.
You know, if there's an HOA violation or if there's a leasing concern or if there's the neighbor called them and said the garbage cans were left out too long. I mean, they always end up getting back to you. That's right. Why the benefit of the single owner point of contact. Now, to be clear, I've gotten questions before. You're not the go-between necessarily between the maintenance and the owner. That's kind of silly.
Right.
I mean, why would you want to be a messenger for Karen?
Right.
And a lot of times we need Karen or a director of maintenance or somebody doing maintenance in-house to physically call the owner and tell them exactly from point A to point B what's going on.
Right.
And get an approval.
Correct.
Okay. So I always like to put that out there because we say single owner point of contact, mm-hmm. but that's just not feasible in reality. But if the owner comes back 3 months from now and says, I had a question about a statement, they're not going to Karen.
No, they'll still come to us even though it's a maintenance because we're copied on everything. So if they were to call us and have a question about maintenance, we'll be able to answer it and not having to go ask Karen.
Right. And that's what we want. It truly is a single owner point of contact in that regard. It's just whenever Karen's got to get an approval, she will pick up the phone and call the owner directly.
Right.
And that's really what we want. That's providing the good service as much as we can do there. So the benefits of the portfolio manager, I want to talk mm-hmm. more about that. We've talked about your background. You got your real estate license. You're doing the portfolio management. You're up mm-hmm. to about 180 homes. You're making a fairly good, revenue share.
Right.
It's a good living. So the benefits of the portfolio manager is, we have a 9-to-5 type of a system, Monday through Friday.
Right.
And we have 24-hour maintenance. We have everything covered. We have the call center with the guys taking the phone calls for us. So we have a lot of things covered that are keeping you at a point to where you can actually have a life.
Yes.
So talk to me about that.
Okay. Well, so it's my day. It's different every day. Yes, our office is open from, 9 to 4. However, I could start off my day, at 8 o'clock. I live in Cibolo. We're located in San Antonio. So it's about a 30-minute commute. So I have several homes that are in Cibolo. So if I have something to do, I'm going to go over there first thing in the morning to get it out of the way since it's closer to me. Every day, it's just different every day. I can't tell you. I mean, it's not going to be the same. But it does help that we have those extra assistants to where it's not working, from 8 to 6 because it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as long as you're able to manage it, then it's doable.
And I think you've done a good job because you're often making checklists for yourself.
I do make my checklist.
For a daily task list mm-hmm. of what you want to do. And you follow the systems of, we have the spreadsheets to where all your homes are there. And that's really what your daily flow is because you're looking at each home and figuring out, okay, what's going on with it? Is it leased? Is it not leased? Is there a maintenance issue? And so you have your top, 20, 30, 50 homes that you're kind of paying attention to with renewals.
Right.
So that's part of your daily workflow. The other things along those lines, we have it separated out to where you have your own iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allows you the freedom or opportunity to turn off the phone on a Saturday night.
Right.
And actually have a life.
Right.
Okay. And we encourage owners that if there's an issue, they have the 24/7 maintenance team. We have our maintenance team paying attention. But really, we've attempted to work with our owners to where they're only contacting you during mm-hmm. business hours.
Right.
To give you a quality of life there. Do you think that's working out so far?
I do. I mean, we kind of set that expectation up front, we're a business. Most businesses open Monday through Friday. So that's what it is. And for the most part, I don't really have any issues with owners contacting me on the weekends. As far as phone calls, they'll send emails, here and now and then. But it's not really a big issue. I think because, we kind of let them know that up mm-hmm. front.
So one thing we didn't talk about, let's go swing back, is business development.
Okay.
So we have our own business development section.
Yes.
And it's Brian and Leslie, and they're out hustling, trying to get new owners to see the value in what we do.
Right.
So when they get somebody to agree to the program, to sign up in one of our plans, then they come to you. So talk us through that transition from the business development side to you.
Okay. So basically, Leslie and Brian, they're the ones who bring them in. We're set up in a rotation. So once we get that, the minute we get that, that's when we want to contact the owner right there. And then basically we just kind of give our introductions, tell them a little bit about ourselves, what we do. And it just kind of, it's an easy conversation. It just kind of goes from there. You set up, the photos, the marketing. By that time, we're getting the home on the market. It's just a real easy, an easy flow. There's really not much to it.
They come to you with kind of the synopsis of meeting with the owner.
Right.
So they give you some cliff notes, let's say. So we met with the owner and they don't want any pets. Or we met with the owner and they're moving out of town, going here, moving this date.
And we have that management agreement. So there is an information section on there where they will put everything. So a lot of the information is already given to us. So there's not much that we need to ask going forward.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So we talked quite a bit about what's going on with you. Do you think we've left anything out?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. So as we grow, my plan for you, Ruby, and this is, you know, putting it out there to the world, is we'll eventually have several factions to where we need several senior portfolio managers and or go into a team concept.
Right.
So one of the things we talked about is a team concept. And this might be more of where we go as an organization is one portfolio manager, one assistant portfolio manager, and potentially one virtual assistant. And that would be a team.
Right.
And so that team, you know, we feel could manage up to 400 homes. So that's something that we could potentially work towards. Right now, we have a linear system to where we have four portfolio managers ranging from 181 to roughly 120 homes each.
Right.
In there somewhere between the middle. And that's working out to a certain extent. But as we grow, we feel we're going to have to transition into a bigger system. And you're going to be one of the persons that are going to do that.
I think we will need to. I could tell you last year, you know, during the summer months, I believe I had like 18 move outs. And that was a lot for me to do in addition to having to get with new owners and just the general daily tasks that I have to do. So having to put that in, having that assistant to help, you know, with some of the inspections and so forth, that it would, it's going
to
help us.
We forgot to talk about that. Let's talk about the move outs themselves.
Yes.
Talk us through what you do when a tenant moves out.
Okay. Basically the tenant moves out, turns in keys. What we'll do is we'll go to the home and we will do a video. Typically it's anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes long. And we just kind of video everything of the home to see if they clean, light bulbs, filters, any damage to the home. We also get a third-party pros inspection, which is a photos. So we do have two documentation as far as inspections goes to document anything that we're going to charge for the outgoing tenant. Right.
That's important for the itemization because we actually reference those two things. We reference the video that you do and we put it into YouTube.
Right.
We make it private so it's not out to the world, but we can reference that video so anybody with that link can go see it. And then we do a third-party pros assessment, inspection, whatever you want to call it. It's only a visual picture inspection. Right. They don't actually check mechanicals. So those two references there we have to prepare our itemization. And that's where you can, okay, the tenant didn't clean, so we charge them X. They left a couple things damaged, we charge them X. We try to be very judicial about that stuff. We don't want to charge over the top because we don't want, you know, really ticked off tenants because that's not fair to them. We want to be a kind of the go-between. So you help prepare that itemization.
I do. Since we're there, I mean, we know what the home looks like. So we know what we're going to charge them. So it's not a hard process because, I mean, the video, they get to see the video. Mm-hmm. So they know why we're charging them. So there shouldn't be any disputes.
We hope. And I think we've done a good job in minimizing that.
Yes, because I don't believe when I started, we were doing videos.
Right. We had a very hard time when we first started trying to figure out the exact situation because we were using the Texas form.
Right.
Remember that? We were using the Texas Association Realtor form, and there's no way to put in the information that we need to put in. So to talk more about that, we reference the inspection, we reference the video, and we also give them a regimented way to dispute our findings if they have further evidence. Because we're not saying we're perfect. Right. We'll listen to them if they have a claim, because they may have more picture evidence. We may have got something mixed up.
Yes.
And we'll review that and make a decision. So that's, I think we've eliminated a lot of headaches, not only for ourselves, but on behalf of the owners.
Just from being, you know, being the portfolio manager for 2 years doing the itemizations, there's been less and less disputes since we've done the video part. Photos, you could take a photo, but you can't really see versus the video. You could do your close-ups and that will justify the charges.
Correct. I think that's been working well for us. I'd really recommend that process for anybody. And so you'd recommend the security deposit itemization that goes to the general manager.
Correct.
And the GM reviews it and cuts the check. And we sign the itemization letter, and that goes out the door.
Yes.
Okay, so that's kind of full circle. Now, at some point during that process, I'm sure you're talking to the owner somewhere in there, right?
Yes, because there could be charges for the owners as well. We cannot charge a tenant for wear and tear, so any charges that are on the owner, I mean, you know, pretty much the video will show that as well.
Dated carpets and paint and stuff like that.
Touch-ups, yeah. You know, any type of caulking that would be general wear and tear. But for the most part, I mean, they're going to be tenant charges minus the little touch-ups here and there.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a great episode, Ruby. Any last-minute comments?
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for bringing your information on here, because I think this is going to be a good informational show for the people out there that want to get the perspective of what's going on day to day.
Right.
You know, they hear the high level junk and it gets a little tedious and boring, but I think a lot of them are going to find a lot of interest in what you're doing, because we're talking about the actual down and dirty details about how we do this.
Yes.
And we're not perfect. There's always better ways to do this, but we've, as you have seen us, you know, you guys, you and the staff always joke, we've always been changing ABC. Right. And I think that's a key point to take away, is as you evolve with the numbers growing, you have to evolve with the people and the systems and the way you do things.
Right.
Yeah, perfect. So thanks again, Rumi. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Today's show has been sponsored by Virtually Incredible, providing tenant screening services, call center services, and video production services to property managers. You may also visit them at virtuallyincredible.com.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.